I went to this service on the base, and there was this kid there, and I guess he played for a Pentecostal service, and there was a Baptist preacher up there preaching, and the Pentecostal guy, he stayed at the piano. And while throughout the sermon of that Baptist preacher, he was playing the whole time, and when he would, you know, when he'd really try to emphasize something, the piano player would emphasize. And he would do that the whole time, and I could see, I'm like, that guy's not used to that. I wasn't really used to it either. That was my first experience with that. It was kind of hilarious, I thought. But anyway, that guy had a good time at the piano that day. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 6. Kind of a peculiar story here. I don't know if how many of you have really read this story very often. You know, like, huh, that's kind of neat. But, you know, to try to figure out how to put a message together with it. And I don't know why, but I was really feeling like God wanted something out of it. But it took me several times reading through it and some prayer to really figure out, how do I get something out of this? And as you hear the story, I think you'll come to realize it. Before we begin, I just want to open up in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you would be with us this morning, that you would help us to lift up your name and to acknowledge you the way that we should, that our spirits would be joined with your spirit, and that you would just show us, Lord, from your word, how we can better serve you, and that you would just guide us, Lord, in our life and help us to be a blessing to those around us. Lord, we look around at our friends and our families and our neighbors, Lord, we see so many lost people, so many people that look like they've given up on Jesus and what the church has to offer. They think that it doesn't apply to them. But Lord, we know that it does, that your word has got a message for us. Lord, would you help us to hear it today? Lord, let it not be my words, but let it be your words. And we just ask that you'd be with those who wanted to be here today that aren't, for those that are sick among us, who are hurting in some way. Lord, would you touch them in a special way? Help your word today to be presented the way that you'd have it to be. And I ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So when you get to 2 Kings chapter 6, not very many verses, the first 7 verses, I just want to illustrate it for you a little bit. See, we've got Elisha. We've been kind of studying Elisha a little bit. And Elisha's with these 100 guys, you know, and they're struggling to get all their meals. They're struggling to find shelter. And they're living in this little hobble of a place that the scripture says is too straight. It's just too narrow. There's not enough room for us all, Elisha. And we're thinking about going over here and building us a place. So, and they say, Elisha, why don't you come with us? And he's like, all right, we'll go. And so they go, and they're working on this, and they're cutting down some trees. And this one guy, he's swinging an axe. You know, back in those days, they didn't have any a chainsaw, so he's swinging an axe. I don't know how many of you have ever swung an axe before, but it's some hard work. I mean, you got to swing it hard. I was using a thick one the other day to drive some tomato stakes into the ground because all my tomato vines, they grew up to about 7 foot tall, and then they all fell over. They took the cages with them, anyway, tomatoes aren't doing very good this year, but they're at least pointed in the right direction now. I put those stakes in the ground, and they're taken care of. But it was hard work. I mean, I had to stand on a stool. Anyway, we both survived, and the stake is in the ground. So it's hard work. I was sweating hard. Mosquitoes are trying to eat me alive. It's hard work to swing an axe, and he's out there doing it. And I think his axe is kind of like mine. Mine's got a big old crack at the end of it. I don't want to discuss how that crack got there, but there's a crack at the end of it, and I always worry that when I'm hammering something like that stake in the ground, that it's going to break off, and something's not going to go well. That thing's going to fall down, hit me in the foot, or while I'm up here, it's going to break. I just don't know. Well, while this guy's swinging his axe, the axe head flies off, and it lands in the river. Now, how many of you know how well axe heads float? They don't. You know, they can make anchors out of some of those things. So his axe had sunk to the ground. He can't do his job. And Elisha's there. And I can just picture him. He's like looking into this river, wondering, how am I going to find that axe head in this river? The water's deep. I don't know how much the current is, but the axe head's gone. And he's like, I'm not chopping down a tree with a stick. And at the same time, this is some borrowed axe. You know, back in those days, it wasn't easy to come by that stuff. You had to go to a blacksmith and he had to forge you one, and it just wasn't the easiest things. And this is a borrowed axe. So the guy he's just kind of looking at it, wondering, what am I going to do? And Elisha comes along and he says, well, where did it go? And he says, well, it's out there somewhere. I'm not sure. I was looking at the tree and the axe head went that way. I don't know. So Elisha picks up a stick, throws it in the water, and all of a sudden the axe head floats up to the top. And the guy reaches out there and grabs it. Now I bet you wonder, how do you make a sermon out of that? Well, this is where I want to go with it. Because as I was thinking about it, I'm like, you know, things that are at the bottom of rivers that's deep, that you don't know how you can ever get it, God's word's like that. And you probably have questions in your life about God, about spiritual things, and they're deep things sometimes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us, says, but God revealeth them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, these things about God, they're like that axe head. They're out there in the middle of the river. We're not even sure how to reach it. We don't know if we could find it. Did it sink 2 feet in the mud? How are we ever going to grasp and gain that understanding? Well, the Scripture says the Spirit will help you to understand these things. And it's okay to have those questions. It's okay to not get it. It's okay to not understand. But it's not okay to just stay right there. Because your spirit, if you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, that spirit desires to know the deep things about God. When I was about 27 or so, I was like, that was just yesterday for you. Well, it's been a few years now, but I was really getting into studying God's Word, and I was enjoying it, and I had some hard questions that I was asking preachers. You think, if there's anybody that you should ask a hard question to, it should be a preacher, right? Especially if he's 70 years old, he should know all the answers. You know, he was back there when the book was written to a 27 years old. So I went and I asked him, and he would say, mumble something sometimes. Sometimes he had an answer. But then as I kept talking to him, my questions and understanding was getting pretty deep. I wanted to know. And he told me this, and I'll never forget it. He said, son, you shouldn't try to understand such deep things about God. Now, here's the thing. If it had been today, you know, if somebody comes in the door and they ask me a hard question like that and I have no answer for them, they're like, well, what do I need Jesus for? If the preacher doesn't even know, if the Christian doesn't even know, then I guess it's not real then. Apparently God isn't good enough to show Himself to suppose a man of God. But I didn't do that, but I'm telling you, it bothered me a lot. He should never have told me that. Because the Spirit was trying to understand. If He would have said, I just don't know, I'd have been okay with that. But because He told me that because this is what it sounded like to my ears, because I don't know, there's no possible way that you can know. Mitch, you're just not smart enough to understand that. And that's not what was going on at all. God was trying to grow me. And this guy had an opportunity to excel, and he failed. And I could have given up, but the next day, I'm reading the Bible, and I'm praying. Actually, I hadn't started reading it yet. I just picked up my Bible, and it was just bothering me so bad. You know, it ruined the rest of my Sunday. So I'm praying, Lord, there's got to be, is that true? Do you really not want me to know more about you? To know some of those deeper things? And I opened the Bible, and it fell to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. I didn't know this verse was in there. God showed it to me that day. And I said, thank you, Lord, for showing me this verse. Because there's some stuff that's deep. There's some things that's hard about our Christian life. There's some things that's hard about understanding God and why things happen the way that they happen. And the Spirit does desire to know the answer to those. The Apostle Peter would even say that we need to be ready to give an answer of some sort. Maybe you don't have the complete answer, but you should know where to find the answer. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to practice. Because God has revealed some stuff to us. I want to talk first about what God has revealed through His Spirit. You know, He has revealed the power and testimony of creation. Do y'all believe that? You know, one of the biggest questions that people have is, how did all of this come to be? God has revealed it in His Word. Genesis chapter 1. It says that God created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then He gives us a six-day format by which everything was created. And then it says that He rested on the seventh day. He has revealed to us how He formed the universe. There is an answer there. Some people don't want to agree with that answer, but the truth is, there is an answer. Now, people may not like it. Too bad. You know, my basketball coach, he gave me answers a lot of times about how well I didn't play. And I had, you know, I didn't like his answer, but because he was the coach, I had to accept it. God has given us the answer. Can I explain how He created everything? You know, I can't explain how Sister Sarah makes some of the cakes that she does. It's because she's got a talent. She's got a gift. She's got something that I don't have. I was excited about, I'm trying to put a poster back there, and I was able to trace words from a projector onto a paper. And let me tell you, I wasn't good at that either. It took all day long to do that. So how does God do it? You know, there's some things that we just can't understand exactly how, but that doesn't mean it's not that there's not proof that He did it. I don't know how this church was built. I wasn't here when it was done. But I guarantee you that they didn't pile all the furniture and the wood and the nails and the screws and the paint all in one pile and then blow it up and expect the church, our church building, to get here like that. It didn't happen, did it? There was a designer and there was a builder. I don't know how they did it, but it was done. Because God is the master architect and carpenter and doctor and healer, and He knows how to take care of these things when I don't. So whether we want to accept that, He has given us an answer. Something else that He has done is He explains to us how we will experience heartache and death because God allowed free will to man. You know, some of the worst things that happen in people's lives hurt their feelings, hurt their heart. You know, we experience death, we experience sickness, we experience people talking about us behind our back. And God has been honest, and He says, these things are going to happen to you. Why? Because sin entered the world, Genesis chapter 3. We have an answer. Why are things bad? Why do things hurt in our life? Why is there pain? Why is there suffering? Genesis chapter 3 gives us the answer. Because God didn't design robots. He designed you and me with a free will to make those decisions. And God has revealed it to us. We have all gone through these things. We know that those things are true. But why? Because sin, by one man, sin entered the earth. He has also told us how we're supposed to live. You know, if there's a Creator God, it would seem good that if He would give us some instructions. Lord, how am I supposed to live this life? If you've really created me, if you've really designed this universe, if there really is sin, well, how do I live amongst all this? Well, that's easy. Exodus chapter 20. God has revealed how we are supposed to live in this world, according to His standard, not according to my standard. You see, in Exodus chapter 20, He illustrates this with the commandments of God. Here's the list. It's only 10. No other gods before Him. No graven images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember to keep God's day holy. Honor your parents. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie to your neighbor. Don't covet what's others. I think I got them all in there. I feel like I was running out of fingers, so I must have messed up somewhere. But God has given us instructions on how to live this life. You think, well, you know, those commandments are in the Bible. No, those commandments are actually in your heart. Is there anybody out here that wants somebody else to murder them? No. Do you want someone to steal from you? No. You want somebody to lie about you? No. You want somebody to want to take everything that you have? Do you want somebody to use your name in vain? Do you want somebody that you've dedicated a certain day in your life to do something and they want to take advantage of that and make you where you can't celebrate that? No. You see, those commandments are actually already inside of you. They're in your mind. And He has given us that standard to live by. He has revealed it to us. He wrote it down just in case you would forget. He wrote it down twice, by the way. It's in Deuteronomy also. He has revealed His understanding of time and prophecy. Yeah, these are deep things, right? They're hard to understand. Well, look with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This was kind of a long list, so I didn't write it down. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, He tells us about time. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." You see, God has revealed that everything has got a time that it happens. It's not just something that just happens inadvertently, it happens. And He has revealed to us that He understands time. We know that these have a place. You know, I was thinking as I was reading through that list that when it came to that time of embrace and a time to not embrace, I started thinking about teenagers. I think it's because I've got some in my house. And I'm like, there's a time that they should be doing that, and a time is not until they're married. So that's what's in my mind, that there's a time for that. There's a place and a time for certain activities, and some things need to wait. There's a time to wait. There's a time that we need to be to do certain things. We understand that because we live. God understands this stuff too. And He says He understands also the past, the present, and the future. Now, some of this is hard for us to understand, but God has revealed to us that He does understand this. In Psalms chapter 90 and verse 2, and the reason God can understand this is because He's past, present, and future, all at the same, for lack of better words, time. He's omnipresent. There's your fancy word of the day. He's in all those places at the same moment. Look in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 2. The scripture will say, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What does that mean? That means as far as the universe time can stretch that way, to as far as it can stretch that way, which is infinity, God is there, past, present, and future. There's not a second, there's not a moment. See, God actually created time for us. You know how I know that? Because it says, in the beginning, God created time. That's where it happened. Before then, time really didn't exist. It was right there. In the beginning, God created time. And time applies to us. And we are on now His schedule. We even acknowledge that fact. Even our secularists acknowledge that fact. You know how I know that? It's because whenever you go to study events, you'll use the word history. His story. We even acknowledge the fact that there's someone greater than us in a single word that reflects time as we know it. In Isaiah 57 and verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. See, God is there. He's in eternity. Now, I may not understand it, but God has revealed where He's at, that He can handle whatever is going to come up next because He's already there. I can look in my past and I can say, God was there present. Now, why He let me go through some of that stuff, I may not understand it completely in this life, but I know that God was there because He inhabiteth eternity. And He has revealed to His children things that will happen in the future and explain the signs that will accompany them. I heard Brother Comer mentioning it a little bit this morning, that Jesus is going to return, that there is a time, again, there is a time when this world as we know it is going to come to an end. There is a time that the United States as you know it will be done. It'll be through. It will graduate to its successor, whatever that may be, whatever it may look like. You know how I know? Because time has revealed that tends to be the case with every nation. It graduates to something else, to something different. We're studying that in the book of Daniel in the Sunday school class. So we know that these things happen in our society, in our world. And God has revealed them to us. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. You see, whenever we start seeing things happening in our world, we can go to the Bible and it's already written down for us. He's shown us what's going to happen. You wonder why the churches are struggling today? Because the Scripture actually told us. God told His apostle Paul. He said, in the last days, some things are going to happen. There will be a great falling away. What does that mean? That means that preachers are not going to be preaching the gospel anymore. Yeah, there's going to remain a few. They're called the remnant. They're going to preach out of God's word. They're going to use His verses. They're going to talk about sin, and they're going to talk about holiness, and they're going to talk about Jesus returning, and that when He returns, judgment's going to happen on this world. And if you're not saved, if your name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is a bad place waiting for you. That place is called the Lake of Fire, and you will be cast into it with a false prophet and all of his hordes. That's what the Scripture tells us. But you know, that's a message that's not being communicated very well these days. And it's because there has arisen amongst us, from inside of us, false teachers, false prophets. The great falling away is at hand. We're right smack dab in the middle of it. And that means that we need to be ever the more vigilant unto this day, because it has been revealed unto us that we need to make sure that we've got our act together and that we're warning people and there's no blood on our hands when we enter into eternity where Almighty God is at this moment. It's going to happen. People don't like to hear that type of message. But it's been revealed to us. Now, do we understand it all? We're never going to understand it completely. Do I understand the rapture? I don't understand the rapture. I just know that it says that Jesus is going to come back. All those that were dead in Christ shall be raised. All those that are here living, they're going to be caught up. When it's going to happen, I can't tell you. I can't poke my finger in the Bible and say, it's at this verse that it's going to happen. I don't know. But I can poke my finger in the Bible and tell you that it did happen. He did say it. And He did say that there was going to be a great falling away. And that if those days were not shortened, that even the very elect would fall prey to it. The Scripture says that. You know what that means for me? That means that I need to make sure that I'm in God's Word and that I'm not falling prey to false doctrines and false teachings. Isaiah 44:11, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me." God said that. He said, are you wondering what's going on? He said, I've revealed it. And I'm not going to do something without telling my people. You know, if God starts talking to you while you're praying or while you're reading the Word, or maybe you're just sitting there and your mind starts to wander through some of the things that are going to be said, listen to what God may be saying to you. He might be telling you. He might be warning you. Has that ever happened to some of you before? That God has warned you about something that was going on? I can remember a time, which I'm looking back and I'm starting to understand. I'm not going to reveal all the details, but I had this friend. He really, really wanted me to go with him to Pensacola, Florida. Over and over he wanted me to go. And I'm like, you know, this guy's not a Christian. He's not living right. He's doing things that aren't good. But he was my roommate, and we did a lot of other stuff together, and he really wanted me to go. And God kept saying, Mitch, don't go. Don't go. And after a while, I ran out of excuses. After saying no, 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 he just kind of beat me down with it. And we get in his car, and we're driving down I-20, and we're headed to Pensacola, Florida. And we get about 40 miles down the road, and his car starts jerking like that, like there's a flat. And he's like, what is wrong with my car? I'm like, I don't know, man. It sounds like you got a flat. I'm like, why don't you pull over? So he starts easing over and pull and slows down. He's going about, I don't know, maybe 5 miles per hour. All of a sudden, the front of his car just fell down like that, and his tire took off across the interstate. And I'm like, all right, God, I'm really listening now. You know, when we got back, he wanted to take my vehicle to Pensacola, and I'm like, man, don't you understand? God's telling us, don't go. You know, he never asked me to go after that. I don't know what was down there. But God had kept telling me and warning me. I don't know what he kept me from, but he knocked the tire off of that car to keep me from going. Now, I don't know if you've ever had something like that. Maybe you were a better listener than what I was. But it just means that God wants to, he will talk to his people. I can't imagine any kid growing up that grows up in church and God not telling them, don't have that premarital relationship like that. Don't use those drugs. Don't get involved with those people. I can't imagine a God that would just sit back and watch them fall into that type of pit. I just can't see that happening. Especially if they're His. Because I know He didn't do that to me. The more I look back, the more I can realize God was speaking to me often, even when I wasn't speaking to Him, because He was looking out for me. God has revealed to us His Son, Jesus Christ. I think of all the things that God has revealed to us and shown us, the Messiah is probably the best of all, because all through humanity, we're looking for a Savior. We're looking for something that's better than us. We're looking for something that can give us everlasting life. Who wants to die? Nobody really wants to die. Nobody wants to go into oblivion, to nothingness. They all think inside of them that there's something more. Well, that something more comes through Jesus Christ, and God has revealed to us His Son. He gave us the Holy Spirit and forgiveness. He gave us Jesus as the Creator. You know, I just think about that just for a second. We just talked about some of the deep things, some of the hard things from creation that God created. He revealed how He did it. And then He tells us later on who did it. It was Jesus. In Colossians 1 and verse 17, it says that Jesus, revealing Jesus to us, that He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Isn't that amazing? That the Bible has revealed Jesus to us, not only as a person, but as our Creator. That seven-day Creator in Genesis chapter 1. You know, Jesus also knows the heartache and death because of what sin? Because of sin. And He knew it so well that before the foundation of the earth, before it even happened, there was a plan put in place, and that plan included Jesus to be the propitiation for our sin, to take our place, to be the atonement, to be the one that upon His blood we would be forgiven, that we could be healed. And He took the measures to conquer it. Revelation 1 and 18 would say it like this: Jesus is He that liveth and was dead, and behold, He is alive forevermore. Amen. And He has the keys of hell and of death. You see, Jesus controls that. If you're ever wondering, Lord, I don't know, how do I know I can trust You? It's because He has the keys. If you're worried about hell, if you're worried about death, well, here's the thing. Go to Jesus. He's got the keys. He's got the plan. He's got the understanding. The key to get out of it is accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Let Him forgive you of your sins. He's already done everything that's necessary. What you have to do is you have to submit and humble yourself. God looks at us and He says that that humble and contrite spirit is with Him. You know which verse He says that in? The one that talks about Him inhabiteth eternity. That He inhabits eternity with those who are of a humble and a contrite heart. He wants our hearts to be humble and to contrite. That means that whenever we sin, it pains us, and we don't want to do that anymore. People who say, I'm a Christian, and they're living in sin, they're liars. They're part of the false prophets that have risen up in our day. The Antichrist spirit, the great falling away, they're part of it. Don't give that side of the fence any excuse. Don't give them any room. Do what Jesus said. The tree is known by the fruit that it bears. You call it what it is. Be honest. Because once you're honest, then you can reveal Jesus Christ as a Savior to them. Jesus would say, or He would say to Peter one day, are you going to leave me too, Peter? Because He mentioned that all those type of things to a mass of people. And they didn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear those things. Even the best people that we know of, they don't want to hear that. Because they look over and they see people that they know, well, they're good people. But they're not saved people. They're not born again people. We're not going to accept that message from You, Jesus. And they walk away. John 6:66. And Jesus looks over at His disciples, are you too going to leave me? And Peter will say these key words that we all should hear. You have the words of eternal life. Jesus, You're the only one with these words of eternal life. What are these words? Jesus would say it like this: if you love Me, keep My commandments. John 14:15. John 15:10, it says, if you keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. You see, we want to be like Jesus because He's got the words of eternal life. And we want to be all in those words. We want to be a part of that life. You see, Jesus, it has been revealed to us that Jesus understands the things that come into our life. He understands those things. The things that make us happy, joyful. The things that make us sad, that make us sorrowful. He understands those things. Hebrews 4 will say it like this. In verse 15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You see, He taught us how to go through this life and sin not. You know, you can go through good times and not sin. But a lot of people, they go through good times and they're sinning all the while. You can go through bad times and not sin. But a lot of people, they sin a lot as they're going through it. Jesus showed us that you can go through both of those and not sin. We have an example. Now, it's very difficult for us. I understand that. That's why we have that propitiation. That's why Jesus is revealed to us, to show us that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that there's no way to get to the Father except through Him, because I can't. He has shown it to me how to do it. I can't do it on my own. I need some help. Well, that help comes in the form of Jesus Christ. He is our help. Jesus is revealed as past, present, and future. See, all those things that have been revealed to us from before, Jesus Christ is revealed the same way. Past, present, and future. You'll recognize this verse, Micah 5 and verse 2. We often don't realize it when we're reading it, but it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." There never has been a time that Jesus has not been. He is eternal. He is God. Thomas would say that when he appeared, when Jesus is resurrected in His resurrected form, and He appears to Thomas. He says, "Thomas, you won't believe unless you put your fingers in the holes of my hands and your hand in my side." That's fine, Thomas. Here it is. If that will make you believe, here. And Thomas, he decides in his mind, "I don't need to touch Him. I believe." And he falls down on his face before Jesus and he says, "My Lord and my God," because he realized something that we all need to realize, that Jesus is Lord and God. He has been revealed to us through God's Word. He's been revealed to us that way. When there's other religions that say, "No, Jesus is something else," they're liars. They're thieves. They're antichrist. Don't listen to them. Don't go do things with those people. Does that make sense? They're going to try to lead your mind away. They want you to believe differently. Stand firm on God's Word. Jesus Christ has been revealed to us. Don't lose that. And lastly, Jesus has been revealed to His children. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." You know, I like this verse. And it's something that we've got to keep doing. We've got to make sure that, because all these things that we've talked about today, that they're deep things. They're hard things to understand. But God has revealed them. If you would accept the answers that the Bible has for us, you can receive that knowledge that of God revealing this information to you. He can explain it. He can give it to your spirit so that you can be able to explain it. Now, you might not completely understand it, but you can try to explain it. and you could show them from God's holy word what the Scripture says about these things. You see, nobody else has got this. Evolution doesn't have the answer. They can't show it to you. They've got their theories, but they can prove nothing. We've got God's Word. We've got science on our side. We have history on our side. All these things have been revealed. But we must accept them. And we have to realize that there is a controversy out there about Jesus. There's a controversy about everlasting life. There's a controversy going on about your soul. You see, we're in a war with the devil. He wants your soul. He doesn't want you to go to heaven. And the controversy revolves around that. And great is this mystery of godliness. Can I explain how Jesus is God? I can't really explain how He is. I just know the Scripture says He is. That He's more than just a prophet. He's more than just a teacher. He's not just a rabbi. The Scripture would use the term the Son of God. Psalms chapter 2 introduces that term to us. And here we get into the Gospels and it refers to Jesus as the Son of God. The title. The one who would take the form of flesh and appear before mankind. Whose main job was to fulfill the plan of Almighty God before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world. That He took on human flesh. And He died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He didn't come in as a champion. He didn't come in as a warrior. Now, is He those things? He absolutely is. But He didn't come to this earth like that. He came as a humble servant. He didn't come as the King of Kings, as Lord of Lords. But next time He comes, He will. And every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that this Messiah, the one who was so humble back then, and who died, who willingly gave His life, He's coming back. He rose again. He was preached on. He's still being preached by God-fearing men and women today. He's being talked about. He's being taught. Your life should teach. Do you believe? Are you living according to His Word? Have you really believed on Him? Are you a part of the world that really believes in this Jesus that's been revealed through the Scriptures? Are you that person? Do you believe that He's been received up into glory? A lot of times we get to that point. Oh, I believe those things, Brother Mitch. I believe those things, Bethany Baptist Church. And we take our eyes and we're gazing up into the heavens just like the apostles whenever Jesus ascended. Look with me in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, which also said, ye men of Galilee. I think it could say, ye men and women of the United States of America. Why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? Gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye seen Him go into heaven. You see, we don't have to keep staring up there. All we have to do is just keep moving forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to come back when He's ready. He's going to come back when that day has come. But we have a job that we have to do. And that's going ye into all the world. Telling people about these deep things. Don't be like that elderly preacher who told me that I shouldn't desire the deep things of God. No, we should be trying to teach those deep things about God. The reason is because we are looking for answers. And God has revealed them to us. We are His children. You don't understand some of this, if you don't think you can explain it, you need to do like that guy who lost his axe head. Don't just stand there looking. What am I going to do? Go talk to some men of God. There was about 40 of them. They wrote 66 books. God even sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And He's going to be able to explain all things to you. So it's time for us to quit staring into the rivers, wondering how we're going to get to those deep things. We need to ask God's men, show me, Lord, reveal Yourself to me. Reveal Your Word to me so that I can be the witness that I need to be during this day when there's so many antichrists, when there's so many false prophets, when there's so many wrong doctrines out there. Lord, help me to seek Your face. Reveal Yourself to me in a way that You never had before. You know what He'll do? He'll do it. I was one of those guys. I quit asking the elderly preacher. I started asking the eternal preacher. He had all the answers I needed. Sometimes He didn't give me everything all at once, line by line, verse upon verse. That's how Samuel did it too, precept upon precept. And He's taught me a lot. And He has revealed Himself to me. And let me tell you today, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He died for your sins. He cares about you. He cares about what's going on in your life. He has revealed Himself. Hey, allow yourself to accept Him fully as Lord and Savior of your life. As a pianist and a song leader would come, let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank You for revealing Yourself to me. For revealing Yourself to so many, Lord. Yeah, there's a lot of deep things that is in this world that we struggle to understand. And our spirit desires to know those. Lord, reveal them to us. Lord, would You give us the answers that this world needs? To do like the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, prove all things. Help us, Lord, to be able to prove them all. To show forth Your love to this lost and this dying generation. Help us, Lord, that we could serve You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To do those things that You've called us to do. Lord, we see the day is approaching. That the redemption is drawing nigh. Lord, let us not give up the fight. Help us to keep the faith. Help us to sound the warning call that when the final trumpet sounds, Lord, that we can honestly say with all the integrity in our life that we did our best to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we didn't give up, we didn't bend, we didn't bow, we stood strong, we held the faith, and we shared as much as we knew with so many others. Guide us, Lord, in this understanding. In Jesus' name I pray.